Esther Shaw.
Surprise!
Esther Shaw.
Surprise, Stephen Lang's here. You voted, we listened, we watched 2018's Mortal Engines. I was about to say Mortal Weapons. I couldn't even remember the name of this movie.
We got to fulfill a lifelong dream of ours, at least since 2018 or whatever, of watching Mortal Engines, a thing that we could never actually bring ourselves to do on our own.
So, no, not without a reason. There's a couple things I want to touch on before we dive into this surely first part of a sweeping saga in the world of... I don't know what the world is called.
Oh, I don't know.
The world. New Earth. Jake and I are both big fans of the YouTube clip, London Devours Bavaria.
It's like eight minutes long. The first, like, it's moments of this movie.
I didn't realize it. This is the beginning of the movie.
Yes, it's the
now,
very
beginning. Now,
this
video has, in 5 years, 31 million views.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow. Because everybody was
excited.
Opening
weekend box office for Mortal Engines,
ooh,
I think, was $8 million.
Oh no.
In total, it grossed $84 million against a budget of at least $100 million.
Yes, this movie is expensive. It looks expensive.
It does look expensive, but don't worry, they've got a reliable director at the reins, which is Peter Jackson's storyboard artist.
Yeah, and sometimes VFX supervisor for, I think, just forever.
He worked on Lord of the Rings. He worked on The Hobbit. He worked on King Kong.
He worked on...
Apparently, Peter...
Like, the earliest... Like, the first Peter Jackson
Peter
stuff.
Jackson, I was looking at this guy, looking up this guy, Christian Rivers.
Yes, Christian Rivers.
Which is not a musician playing at the TPUSA halftime show.
Yeah, or a bastard from the Riverlands.
Yes. No, Peter Jackson scooped him up, weaned him on his... They're both Kiwis, on his New Zealand milk. And then he was like, I'm ready to take on a project. And so they made Mortal Engines, which is based on a book.
Yes.
I didn't look into this again. I've looked into the book before. And one thing that's notable about it is that the author wanted it to be like an adult, you know, level reading level book.
Yes.
Fantasy. And a publisher was like, no one's going to care. You have to make this YA. Like, if teens... aren't going to read this, nobody is going to read this.
Publisher said, and you cannot have adult steampunk. It cannot be done.
It's like it's steampunk, but everything's computers.
Everything's computers. There's still jets and stuff.
Yeah, that was...
No steam.
Because you and I, we love an airship. We love a dirigible.
Yes.
You know, we like the sky captain.
And they're pretty cool.
Yeah, but they also have jet turbines.
Yeah. It's 1,000 years in the future. I didn't know that.
So that's a thing that I didn't realize.
Right.
Is this is not an alternate world, which would be so much easier. But instead, it's the far off future.
Yes.
I don't know what it's like in the books, but in this one, they lean hard into that. With just like the... So first of all, there's the opinion of the minions in the first like 8 minutes, I think.
Yes. Where they're American deities. They have in their London museum on the big London vehicle.
Yeah. So if you're not paying attention, you might miss that this is actually an allegory for colonialism.
Mm-hmm. What the heck is it called? It's a municipal Darwinism.
Darwinism. Municipal Darwinism.
Where cities eat cities.
Hugo Weaving wants to end. Municipal Darwinism is, it does sound like a dog whistle.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Like something that a right-wing podcaster would say.
Yeah.
Like it's something that means we need to like arrest more brown people is municipal Darwinism.
Yeah. We're talking about the first 8 minutes of this movie, which we have both seen.
Yeah.
And
again,
it makes
31
it seem like,
million views.
Yeah. It's like, oh shit, a movie where Mad Max is cities? Okay. But it turns
out... This could have been so cool.
This 8 minutes, that's the only time there's city cars.
Not only that, is it's the only time that you see a named city in action. And like the whole pitch for this is like the city's traction cities, they move.
Yes.
And first of all, also the YouTube video that Universal posted with London Devours Bavaria. Bavaria, not a city.
Yeah, it's a...
Bavaria is a state in Germany. And in, even in the movie, they say it's a Bavarian mining town. So it's like, obviously you can't say the city of London devours unnamed mining town.
Yeah.
But it is funny that like immediately, like we're done with the like that. And, yeah. And so like the other named places, like you're like, okay, London. That's the city. That's actually kind of cool. This is like something I'm familiar with it. But now there's this radically different take. And I'm like, where's, you know, where's Hong Kong? Where's Chicago? You know, where's Moscow?
Oh,
like,
Hong, does it have Hong the Kong big, probably turned into Shangguo.
Shangguo, yeah. The Shangguanese.
Shangguanese. They treasure life, the Shangguanese.
The only other, it's definitely like a pro vaguely East Asian movie. Yeah.
They're like, look, the paradise that awaits this world is China.
Look, I'm sure the Shangguanese is in the book, but I'm also like Universal 2018, you know, and they're in the thick of it with like Fast and the Furious. So I was like, are they hoping this catches fire with Chinese audiences?
I mean,
like,
that's maybe, the year to do
I don't
it.
Know. Boy, was it. When was Warcraft?
That's a good question. When was the
and who made that?
Fourth
that
Transformers
was 2016. Movie? 2016, and it was Universal Pictures. That's right. Okay, so yeah, I think they were like, this is our business model, right?
Age of Extinction,
we're just going to release
was
over
2014.
There.
That was also
big
China
also big
movie.
Over there. and 2017 was The Great Wall.
Yes, yes.
But the only other cities that are named are there's a verbal reference to the frozen city of Archangel, which I'm
yes,
like, all right, I
sounds
guess,
cool.
What
they reference a lot of like
what
lore
would that be? Sitka
in this,
yeah,
like far
and
off
then,
places,
and then Skyhaven, and that's
Skyhaven,
it. There's
which
no,
we see.
There's no like, there's nothing else. Like when people riff on this movie, it's like, wouldn't it be funny if a different city moved?
Yeah,
no, it's just London.
So you have like the first 8 minutes, which feels like it's going to be Mad Max, but big. And then the rest is just Star Wars.
There's literally an X-Wing.
Yes.
Not an X-Wing, a TIE Fighter.
Yeah, yeah. And it does look very cool. It's a TIE Fighter made of balloons.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of okay with
like
that.
It's like a sky punk TIE Fighter. But that whole scene is like, man.
So
all right. I don't even know where to start with this.
Let's start with like the cast of this movie. So you've got like a couple recognizable people in it. Hugo Weaving is the kind of the only
Hugo
one.
Hugo Weaving,
yeah.
And then it drops.
Yeah.
Like three letter grades.
There's like the Lord Mayor Chrome Magnus or Magnus Chrome.
Magnus.
I don't remember.
He was cool. That's a good like Mad Max name. There's Mad Max DNA in this, like the fingerprints, especially with like a, what it would be, Oceanic, you know, a Kiwi filmmaker.
Like that's this whole
movie.
They
even go like,
looking at it, it's like, okay, that's like, that looks like this movie, or that looks like this movie. There's Mad Max. There's Star Wars.
Matrix sequels are well represented.
There's Frankenstein.
One of the dumbest character reveals. Yeah, we'll get to that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You got so Hugo Weaving and then just kind of a random
Hugo
cast.
Hugo Weaving, probably the most notable person who's not notable in this movie, well, after Stephen Lang, I guess, who is unrecognizable because he's not really in the movie. And his voice isn't either, is like the guy with the dreads on Skyhaven. I think his name is Korra.
Oh, the guy
from
Dungeons & Dragons.
Bridgerton and Dungeons & Dragons. And he was in Black Bag, which he was great in. So, like, he's having a career still.
So that, like, seeing him pop up, his introduction, it was like his Dungeons & Dragons introduction, where it's like, check out this guy. He's fucking cool.
Yeah. This movie is full of who's this fucking guy moments. Which applies to Anna Fang. It applies to him when he steps up. There's the moment where Hugo Weaving stages his coup and has Magnus Chrome killed, and it just cuts to a guy in a bowler cap
with
a handlebar mustache.
Bowler hat guys with like Warhammer bolt guns.
But he's by himself in a shot. It's like a hero shot. It's like, it's him. And I don't know if you're a book reader, you're like, oh my God, that's Varminter Bilzo. He does have a name. I like was looking it up, but like he doesn't have a line. You don't see him die. You don't see him. I have a feeling that there is a 3-hour-15 version.
Where is it,
of
Peter Jackson?
Film.
There's a. I want to just quickly go through the names of the characters in this because a lot of good ones.
Please do.
So I'll just go through the main characters. You got Tom Natsworthy, who's a British Justin Long. We got Hester Shaw.
He's a little Eddie Redmayne too.
Yeah.
A Star Shark.
Of course, of course. Who that actress I had never really seen before, and I guess it's just like some Icelandic actress.
She is Icelandic.
Yeah, she's
usually
fine.
When you get like a Northern or Scandinavian actor,
yeah,
they're typically like pretty good about the accent.
Yeah. It was kind of refreshing to see when she took her like mask off that she had like a pretty fucked up face.
Yeah, the scar was cool.
Yeah, I was like,
the scar
cool.
was awesome.
It's not like Ready Player One where it's just like, oh, she's got like a beauty mark.
A birthmark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. We got Anna Faang, of course. Thaddeus Valentine. That's Hugo
Beavis
Weaving.
Pod?
Yeah, Beavis Pod. That's the guy with the, I don't know, he has like weird gray hair.
He's got like, yeah, he's got like a dumb haircut.
He has like anime
and
hair.
He does basically nothing.
He disappears at
yeah,
some
Mark
point.
Yeah, Mark Mitchinson was Vambrace. He just like pops up.
That's the guy? Vambrace?
That's the guy, yes. And yeah, he's got billing above all the Sky Captain of the World of Tomorrow people.
Wow. So Catherine Valentine, who all of her lines were like 80-yard horribly.
Oh, yeah. She also does almost nothing.
Yes, but ends up being pivotal. That's Vincent D'Onofrio's daughter.
Really?
Yeah, and I guess she was also married to Sean Penn for a couple years. A short couple years.
Okay.
Let's see, Beavis Pod Shrike, of course. That's our Stephen
yes.
Lang. Magnus Chrome, Chrysler Peavy, the pirate mayor of Tunbridge
yes.
Wheels.
That's and the guy who just like picks them up.
Yeah, yeah.
With
it
his
like
wife,
cool
who it
worm.
Sounds like she like beats or something. Like,
yeah, there is
something
like,
terrible.
During that scene, I was like, what is that really distracting sound of what sounds like wife beating I keep hearing?
I think it might have been that they were carrying more prisoners.
Yeah, which it never establishes. You just hear like a bunch of slapping and women screaming. And I'm like, what's
yeah,
going
it's super
on?
Super weird.
Yeah. Oh, and the last name here, Chudley Pomeroy. Well, I think that's the guy
Pomeroy.
Who has the
oh,
glasses.
Oh, that's the guy that.
Yeah, who owns
yeah,
the museum.
He runs the museum.
Yeah.
I also want to call out there is the Governor Kwan. Of Shangguo.
Governor Kwan, who has some great just like standing in front of a green screen moments in his cool
yes,
outfit.
There's actually some bad keying too in this movie, which
yeah,
is surprising.
It is because
there was one shot in particular.
Yeah.
Which
I
like,
know
that
which
should
one
be
you're
the one thing you get right.
And like for the most part, this movie looks like pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, the backgrounds are, I would say the art direction is in the VFX is lacking. I think the physical sets are pretty sick.
Yeah.
Like
sets,
I do think that like when they lock into it, like it almost has like a sort of like Wicked vibe where it's like, you know, a high functioning, but like fantastic society.
Yeah.
They're playing it a little fast and loose, but you know, there's like the fashion and like every, you know, all the extras, all those weirdos on London cheering for a nuke to go off.
Yeah.
You can pick them out. They're
there's
like
the
oh, there's
set where they're
guy,
walking through like the track marks and stuff. I'm like, that's
yeah,
cool looking.
I thought of that to myself too. I'm like, but I'm also like, we're not going to get up and like get to see the land around us. Like
no,
we have
no.
to put them in a rut where they can get run over. I also want to call out real quick that the guy who plays, what the fuck is it? Governor Kwan is
Governor
in episode
Kwan.
Three.
Yes, as some guy like Malay D.
Malay D, which I tried to look it up and I got male deer.
Yeah, it's hard to look up. It's just some guy. It's just a guy that you never see.
Yeah, he's like there when Jar Jar greets Anakin.
Yeah, in a crowd right? of like 60 people. He's in there somewhere.
I see him.
Yeah, because yeah. you'd see that guy and you're like, oh, this might be some actor or something. But then it's not really.
No, not really.
Yeah, and then
no,
like
he
Anna Faang, that's like a Korean singer. So
yeah,
probably just famous
so
somewhere.
It's, yeah, so she was actually in Succession, which we should get into the talking about the plot and all the dumb bullshit with this. But it's a weird collection of people. Like the anti-tractionists is kind of like a diverse coalition mm-hmm. of, it's like, we've got an Asian woman and a black guy and a Scandinavian guy and an Indian woman.
Oh,
and I think like
one of those
maybe
anti tractionists, the one that like kamikazes into a gun turret towards the end. Mm-hmm. She plays a Bobby in The Expanse.
Really?
Yeah. And she's awesome in that. She's like barely in this movie. But I was like, oh, I know who that is.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Well, I am happy for her.
Yeah,
yeah. What's the Expanse one ship? I gotta get back to watching this. So that's short webisodes.
Short webisodes.
Well, cool. I'm glad that there are people that have good careers.
Yes.
Like, people are trying in this movie. I guess, okay, let me say a couple of my notes. This could have been like an Alita Battle Angel, where it's like, if you meet it on its own terms, you have a good time. It's dumb, but it's fun. But no, it's not that. I can't believe that it's not a Wachowski's movie, because this seems like Jupiter Ascending
yeah.
core.
I was thinking to myself, it has like a, not Wachowski's, but like a Valerian stink to it, almost. Like, it looks
yeah,
pretty slick.
Bit.
But ends up just being...
It's got a great
yeah,
opening.
Big failure. Yeah, great opening, big failure.
Yeah, so I have a question for you, Jacob.
Yes.
Why do the cities have to move?
I think it's like, I was looking into it a little bit because I was wondering the same thing. And it seems like just the Europe and Great Britain kind of just have this hunt, they have like a hunting ground. And
right.
that's all I could really get into. And it seems like a relatively radical thing that static cities are being formed, which is just regular cities.
A city, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're. Yeah, and there was a quantum war.
Yes, the 60-minute war.
Which, in the beginning, there's this crazy voiceover that's like, it took 60 minutes to reshape
yeah,
the world.
Stephen Lang's character is like, hey, welcome to the movie. This is what happened 1,000 years ago. And you're
Jacob,
like, Jesus Christ.
He's fucking scary. He's never so, not scary.
There's like a terrifying monster man in this movie for no reason.
He's got a face of like decaying flesh, and then you're supposed to be like, oh, he's sweet. And
yeah.
like, he never stops talking like this.
Yeah. They're like, okay, there's this guy who's going to help you hunt down this lady.
Yeah.
And it turns out it's the scariest fucking guy.
Yes. It's like techno Frankenstein.
Like a zombie.
It's like a Terminator
cyborg.
At the end of the movie. He's the last of the Lazarus Brigade. And he keeps roaring, and every time they dwell on it, and Hunter just go, ah! It looks crazy.
He destroys an entire city in the middle of the movie.
Yeah, he's... Yeah. Well, Hugo Weaving takes... then he has a really long farewell. But Hugo Weaving and his friends go to an oil derrick where this thing is being kept in, like, a water prison.
Yeah, it's like a walking spider prison.
Yeah, it's like where they put Captain America after Civil War.
Yeah, which when I saw it and I saw it walking through the ocean, I'm like, that's pretty sick.
No, that's yeah, sick. I don't have a problem with it. I just thought it was weird that Hugo Weaving, who's like in charge of like the big dog city,
yeah, he's
and I
like
guess is able to just meet
Mr.
with
Engineer.
Them, instead of saying like, I'm demanding you release this thing, he shoots down the entire prison.
Yeah, it's like, I'm going to take this guy off your hands, is that okay? And they'll be like, yeah, sure, you're in charge. But no, he like
yeah,
blows
you're
the place up. He blows one of its legs off and then shoots the cell that he's in with a missile and just hopes that gets him out
because he's indestructible.
Yeah,
yeah, it's bizarre. People do things because that's what happens in, you know, YA adventure movies.
Yeah,
like, or any movie where like later someone's like, you go in when I give the signal, and it's like, what's the signal? And it goes, you'll know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which, that sure does happen. I guess we should say that like the whole thing is Hugo Weaving as this, he's trying to hatch a secret plot to like weaponize London with the quantum laser called Medusa.
Yeah.
So he could blow up the wall and get into
subdue the Sanguinese,
yes.
The Sanguine.
Which he says
yeah.
he's doing it to like get rid of municipal Darwinism, but then he says, we're going to go in there and make it our new hunting ground. I was like, wait, that's
yeah.
like the opposite of what you said you were going to do.
No one really has any motivations or reasons for doing anything. So
yeah.
like, spoilers for Mortal Engines, but you find out that Hugo Weaving killed... Okay, so there's a main character in this movie named Hester Shaw. She's kind of compelling for the first 10 or 15 minutes when she tries to kill Hugo Weaving. And then she's just kind of there.
Like, yes.
She doesn't really have any character traits or anything defining about her except her mom died.
Yeah.
And
she, like, there's
you
scenes
see
where they walk up to her and then a flashback starts.
Yeah, that happens a few times. And anyway, you find out she's got this sick scar because Hugo Weaving accidentally killed her mom and accidentally cut up Hester's face.
Yes.
Because and her so mom you're like, found surely something. When they get together, he'll be like, I never wanted to hurt you. Also, I'm your dad. Because they do Star Wars.
Yes. Straight
but
up.
But no, he's just like, I'm going to fucking kill you. It's just like, what the hell? It's crazy.
Yeah, he's nuts. He's nuts in this movie. And she just wants to kill him. That's her thing. She just wants to murder him.
She just wants to kill him, yeah. And then there's kind of like a Tulsa King Tyson-esque thing where instead of fighting to the death, she's like, I'm going to live, and gets rescued by Tom in the airship, who then shoots a missile at Hugo Weaving.
I'm going to live, like, and my boyfriend's going to blow you up.
Bye.
It's like, yeah, I'm going to live. And then 30 seconds later, he's getting crushed by London.
Tyson, if you kill Hugo Weaving, you're never going to come back from that.
Anyway, pull the trigger. You're not killing him. The spaceship's killing him.
Yeah, you're not killing him. The axe head at the end of the handle is killing him.
Yeah, technically.
These are our players. It's Hugo Weaving, Hester. Hester's surrogate father, the scariest fucking zombie robot you've ever seen.
Yes, who is Stephen mad Lang. Because he wants to put her in a robot body and she had something else to do.
He just kind of like scoops her up and raises her.
Yeah.
And,
which is like kind of cool. And it's like, oh, look, he's like some humanity and this like cyborg zombie man. The most human of any of the characters.
It'd be easier if he looked less fucking scary.
Yeah. And then he's like, I'm going to put you in a robot body to take away your suffering. And then she's like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Thaddeus Valentine is in the hunting grounds. I got to go. And then he's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And then destroys his city and gets arrested and kills a bunch of people.
It makes him so mad that she just leaves.
Which also, like, he's like, you promised. She finds this, like, cyborg, half a cyborg body, like a robot, and he's like, I'm gonna put you in this, and I'm like, okay, is this guy qualified to perform this kind of procedure?
It's like, that seems really complicated, and he's like, he's just playing with dolls, that's all he does.
I know, it's so on the nose, everything is repeated so many times, but then they won't even bother to touch on that, like, well, he's like this, so surely he knows how to do it to someone else. It's like, what's he gonna do, take her face off? Yeah, she's in the flashback. She's like, he collected broken things. I think he saw himself in those things. You're like, well, yeah, okay. Well,
duh.
I understood it. And then the little Hester goes, where is his heart? And he turns to her and says, it has no heart. And then he gets close. He goes, like me.
He's so scary. It's so
he's
loud.
Fucking terrifying. His eyes are so bright.
He's got two terrifying headlights. Green eyes.
Yeah.
It's awesome. And then it kind of just like, they go to this, what's it, Skyhaven?
Skyhaven.
He shows up
Welcome
there.
To Skyhaven.
He blows it up.
He like throws people through the floor while the anti-tractionists fight him one at a time. Like it's Assassin's Creed.
That part is so funny.
Yeah. And then it ends with them putting a sticky explosive on his leg, which works.
Like, maybe he just falls through a hole. Yeah.
Yeah. This thing is so ramshackle.
And then
that's another thing. Is like,
yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
So she's running around with this foppish museum boy.
Yeah, who wanted to be an aviator, but instead became a docent.
Yeah,
a volunteer,
and then
works
also,
at a museum.
At the museum, has created a hidden stash of old tech behind
that's
a
that's crazy. Yeah,
wall.
I found all these guns.
Yeah, in my secret place, but you could still see it through all these big windows.
Mm, yeah. Yeah.
So he's running around with her, and then Stephen Lang is like stepping on him, and she's like, don't kill him. And he's like, you love him. Okay.
and then he dies. And then he succumbs to his injuries. He says, you cry. He hurt you.
Yeah. You're crying. I'll kill him faster.
I know. No.
And then,
and also, meanwhile, you see this whole like hot air balloon city is on fire and lurching, but it keeps cutting back to them. And I was like, are they already on the airship? No, they're falling.
Just,
none of these forces are really. Yeah, the whole thing's at like 45 degrees.
Yeah. So then he just like, he's like, sorry. And then he gives her a MacGuffin necklace and he dies.
Oh, yeah. By the way, this was your mother. She gave it to you when she died. And I just was hanging on to it for no reason.
Remember, he catches it between his fingers. He goes, clink.
That was cool. Tink. Was that practical? Right?
Oh, they yeah. Have she must like have been all puppets.
A little hand.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, he was kind of cool looking. But
he's
it'd
like
be
cool
like,
to watch.
I mean, like the ghoul, right? Like Walton Goggins in Fallout. He's not normal or good looking, but also like you can get past it, right?
Yeah.
Like there's the humanity, there's the performance behind it.
Like when I saw his little robot hand through the cell, I was like, oh, cool. It's a robot man in there.
I know. But then he's just so fucking scary. They give him a face. Give him a face.
Like a ripped up, fleshy face with a little
metal.
I know.
It's like his nose is like gold.
yeah. So that's just kind of in this movie.
Can we talk about, can we go back a little bit, Jacob,
yes,
and talk
about
Anna Faang and the white slavers?
Oh my God. The like, the I saw them and I was like, oh, alien boy sellers. Because this is like straight up.
Basically.
These people that like save them with their worm car, they just immediately bring them to a bunch of like slavers who are selling an old woman.
Yeah, supposedly they're in Europe, but I guess 1,000 years ago, the Earth's crust shattered and everything moves around. So if you go an hour south, you end up in New Australia.
And it really
because it's
nails down,
just
like,
Mad Max down
the
there.
The south is bad. Like she's like, don't go south.
You can't go south.
Everything in the south is really gnarly. And it immediately is. It's like, okay, they sell people to turn into sausage. There's a guy with a shirt
know,
made out of buttons.
Yeah. Well, the button coat was pretty good.
Yeah. I like that guy.
But the guy that's going to buy her, it's like, oh no, he wants to use her. And it's like, I'm going to make you into Salome.
Was it like quirks that they're selling for?
Quirks?
Oh, free quirks. Free quirks for the old woman.
He's like, I need 10 quirks. And the guy goes, 4.
Yeah. Oh my God. So yes, it's just like this Mad Max town. And then like Vash the Stampede shows up.
Yeah. So a side character from Matrix 5, if they ever make it.
Yeah, she's like
comes
shows
in
up.
Wearing a red duster.
Dumb
tall
glasses.
Pompadour.
That pompadour
dumb glasses.
Is like so inconsistent because like the first shot she shows up, she looks fine. And then other shots, it looks like it's like 3 feet tall. Like she has
like
a
Marge Simpson
haircut. Yeah, or like Marge haircut. And it's so crazy looking. Like bright red coat. She has a trigun gun.
She does have a trigun gun.
Yeah.
But then also later, they kind of have to like introduce that she also has a different gun so she can give it to Hester at the end of the movie.
Yeah. She's like, here, this
because
is my dumber looking gun.
They get on and she holds it up. Yeah. And it's got like kind of like a bubble of compressed air and like a single barrel. And she's like, I'm just fucking with you. But after Faang comes in, we see what plays out is the slowest action sequence with the most cuts I think I've ever seen.
Yes. Oh my Lord. Or she also has like a weird arm blade.
Yeah. She's got the arm blade, the toe knife. I like,
yeah, that was cool. She stabs a guy in the forehead with her toe knife.
Which, that's the only orientation she could be in to pull that off.
Yes, and like, they make her do it.
Yeah, she does it a couple times.
She blows that button man's head off. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, seeing his toupee fly away.
Yes.
That was good. I mean, like, more freaks. I would have liked more freaks. I would have liked more moving cities and towns.
Yeah, we got, like, some big rolling structures a little bit in that whole sequence.
Yeah.
There's a little set piece where they're riding on the wheels and stuff, and that's pretty cool. They're climbing up it.
I like that. And then there's the thing where, like, they're trying to run away and, like, Shrike just curls his toes around the thing and starts pulling them down by a rope, which
I
thought was
rope.
Cool.
And then, like, the lady, she's like, catch this knife! She throws a knife down to that man.
Yeah.
I was like, Jesus Christ!
She throws a scorpion blade down. It's crazy! And now they're with Anna Faang, who has to do a lot of heavy lifting. And, like, you know, all respect, ma'am. I haven't heard your music. I'm sure you were good on Succession. I don't remember. She does not seem to want to be there or act.
Yeah. She does not
anything.
Have the juice. They dress her up like an insane person. It's funny early on because they see like a wanted poster for her or a wanted screen on London.
Yeah, the screens are circles.
And someone's like, oh, Anna Faing. I wish they would just lock her up. And I'm like, yeah, I think everybody here does. Like, I don't think it's controversial for you to think that she should
put
away.
Ugh, Bin Laden. I don't even like that guy.
Yeah, it's so weird. I'm like, that seems like an opinion that everybody here shares. You don't got to worry about it. Speaking
this
of screens,
movie
real
has
quick,
exposition.
There's a scene where Hugo Weaving is talking to Balon Greyjoy. That's Magnus.
Yes,
Chrome.
I thought I recognized the voice.
Yeah, I was like, where do I know this guy from? I've heard his voice.
I think
I've
there
seen
was
his face.
Another Game of Thrones person or someone that sounded like they could.
Yeah,
be, but
I had to look
either
it
way,
up.
Go ahead.
I'm like, okay, it's Balon Greyjoy. But like, it's a scene where he's talking to him through like a little TV. But it looks so weird. It looks like it's like a scene that they shot in person that they just repurposed to put on a TV because it has all these different like cuts and like different camera angles and stuff. And the camera's like moving.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I feel like I'm watching a scene on a TV, not watching a guy talk through a TV.
Yeah. It's kind
odd.
Of like an even worse version of that thing where security footage is just a shots from earlier in the movie where, I mean, that always bothers me and it's dumb, but it's small, but this is like even dumber.
Yes.
And it's also like, they have video phones, they have computers and jet engines, but also everything's like sails and gears. And I think steam in the center.
Yeah. Like it's a mix of all those aesthetics, but still being kind of this like weird, like retro future thing. But
which,
also
again,
pirates.
I would have been fine with if they made it fun.
Yeah.
Like, you know, or if even people acknowledged they were on a moving city. Every scene that takes place for the most part on London, you would not think that the city's fucking moving at however many miles per hour. And
like
the sky place and like all this shit. And it's just like, shouldn't this be like fucking rumbling all the time? Like if one scene of someone sitting, which by the way, I don't think many people sit in this movie.
No,
like, for some reason,
everyone's
always walking around.
There's always
but
like
one scene where someone's.
It's like a couple instances
sitting.
Where there's something like when they're on that like worm car. And you could see it's like those buses, like those accordion buses.
Yes.
And I'm like, that's a cool
set
that you see a little bit of. Like, you can see the rest of it moving in the background. But for the most part, I feel like it only ever shows when it's like a VFX shot. Where it's like, here's like the gun turrets on London as it's rolling towards the wall. And they get blown up. And you could see the wind like blowing all the fire back and stuff. And I'm like, okay, they're moving. And I can really tell because the directors are like a VFX guy.
Yeah,
so all that stuff is there.
There's definitely all that in there. But like, I would want just one scene where someone's sitting down and like you're watching like a bottle kind of like wriggle on the table and fall off and they maybe catch it at the last second or they have to keep like putting something back up on a shelf.
Like
anything to acknowledge, like the way we live is insane.
I know.
You never see where anyone lives. Like,
just,
there's no rooms, no one sleeps, no one eats or shits.
Yeah, like, this
they're
seems
just
like a
cheer
crazy
for,
world.
They just cheer for war.
It made me think
like,
of, like,
that's it.
The Expanse, because we mentioned that earlier. Like, there's scenes where, oh, they're on, like a space station or a moon or something with low gravity that's spinning this fast. So when they pour a drink at, like, a weird angle so that it falls into a glass in a weird place. And I'm like, okay, someone's thinking about that.
Someone paid attention
like,
to inertia.
But that is not present.
Not in this movie.
In this weird movie.
It does not deliver, but it does give us Medusa. Which is a.
It's a laser.
It
it's a Death Star.
It's a Death Star that's electric that can. That in 60 minutes, they moved the Earth's crust around.
Yeah, I guess everybody shot
them. And then when it goes
them.
Off, it's cool. You know?
It is cool. It creates
like
a
little
singularity,
black hole effect.
And it sucks stuff into it. And I'm like, that's pretty sick. You see some people getting sucked off the streets and into
there's
sky.
A lot of great extras just like flying across the screen in Changuo when it's being fired at fire.
Yeah, and that's pretty cool. I'm like, dang.
It's a very cool effect. It wipes out the entire Chinese Air Force.
Yes, in one shot. I'm like, here we go. Big space battle. They're gonna do it. No, London just sucks it all up. It's a lot. I think he fires it like three times into this wall.
He does. It keeps overheating.
Yes.
And
Hugo Weaving
also,
don't care.
Like, I was suspecting and hoping that his plan would be much dumber. Like something that like turns the ground to like lava or something, so every city has to be mobile. Like a plan, you know?
Yeah.
Like rather than just like opening up a hunting ground, it like I thought it would be like something like way stupider, like supercharging seismic activity or making agriculture on the ground impossible without moving.
No more static cities.
He's just like, I have a gun.
Yeah, I want to go over there so I can drive around some more.
Yeah, there's this big wall that we can't get past or around.
The big shield wall of Shangguo.
Which, you know, sorry, Shangguoianese. You shouldn't build your whole city against the wall that's protecting the city.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's like, okay, there's a wall. And there's land on the other side, like luscious green land. And like, no, all the buildings are on the
valley.
Wall, like leaned up against the wall.
I know. You'd think they'd be on like the other side of the continent, right?
It's a bad wall. It's a really bad wall.
It's a bad wall. And like, nobody's taking this movie seriously.
No.
The Shangguanese, the Londoners. It's an unserious movie.
Yeah. I guess Stephen Lang probably took it seriously. He'll always take it seriously.
Yeah. But even Hugo Weaving, he like mumbled half of his lines.
Yeah.
If it had been a different movie, I would have rewound like 3 or 4 times to actually catch what the line was.
Nah, you just move
Being
on.
Being that it was Mortal Engines, I just let it go.
Actually, there was one that I rewound, and it was when Balon Greyjoy says, like, he calls him a dinosaur, and then he's like, what are you? And he's like, oh, Mutter. And I was like,
yeah.
And then he shoots him with a crazy Warhammer gun.
It's an automatic
pistol? What the fuck did he say? So I went back and he's like,
A meteor.
I went, oh, he's the meteor. And then I thought of Polly Walnuts going, meteor. He's like, they're all meat eaters.
Meteor. I didn't even know if they knew about fucking dinosaurs and meteors. I don't know what these people know. Because they like don't know that much about like at the minions. They're like, oh, the deities. And then they get in their cute, stupid little jokes where it's like, we don't even know if people knew how to read in this time. And they show like a broken iPhone.
They're eating Twinkies.
Okay.
They're like, oh, this is like
eating Twinkies.
This food lasts forever.
Well, that's not what they say, Jacob.
It's a thousand years old.
Maybe the only thing that in this movie that is like not just normal English is she says, the food of the ancients never goes off. It's indestructible.
It's indestructible.
So I think the line is supposed to be the food of the ancient never goes off. It's indestructible.
Yeah.
But she reads it as the food of the ancients never goes off. It's indestructible.
The food of the ancients never goes off. It's indestructible.
It never goes off. It's indestructible.
It's one sentence. Jesus.
It never goes off. It's like, it's funny in Zombieland.
Yeah. But this is 1,000 years in the future.
Who even eats Twinkies anymore? Like, who is this joke working for? We're like, they do put preservatives inside the Twinkie.
Yeah, it's like they look like, in this. They've shown us them eating green goo plenty of times.
Yeah, and she gets a can of mush from Stephen Lang
of like cat food. And he's like, eat.
Yeah, the living must eat.
He's so loud in every scene. It's awesome.
He's really, really scary. I think we should, maybe I'll make him the podcast photo.
That would be great.
Do we have any errant thoughts before we get to like questions? Because I was actually a little worried that like, oh no, we're going to do a whole movie podcast and we have to do questions. Like,
I don't think so.
Gonna be
there's
able to
not
fit
really
this in?
A lot to, like, there's a big dumb climax where they fly around and shoot
oh,
stuff.
Oh God, yeah.
And then
Hugo Weaving's daughter, Vincent D'Onofrio's real daughter, I guess, is like, she does nothing. Her whole role in the movie is to find out about things that the audience is already seeing.
Yeah. To act badly.
And then she opens a door. That's the only act that she performs.
Yeah. Because
in this movie,
she gets onto the bridge at the end and like, what does she do there? It's like,
she opens the door.
She opens the front.
She's trying to stop it.
Yeah. Which, so he could fly in and do a Star Wars.
Yeah.
Blow it up from the inside.
Yeah. Basically, yeah.
I was relieved when I saw in the museum, there was a woman with like red anime hair. And I was like,
yes.
She looks like she'll be annoying. But then she's not in the movie at all until the very
end. She's in the, like, one of the last scenes where Maledi welcomes the London people.
I made a sticker of that too that I forgot to send you of him just standing there on the rubble because he looks so funny. And like,
this movie, why did they come down there?
Like, Stephen Lang got some laughs out of me. Anna Fang made me laugh, made you laugh when she showed up. She just looks
when
fucking
she showed up
ridiculous.
I did. You know what got a good a good thing out of me is like, so this weapon that which has like not any real design. Medusa, like it kind of looks like a cobra.
It looks like a reared up.
It's
snake,
got a lot
I
of
guess.
Like. Turbines and pipes and stuff. It's called Medusa. It speaks, which is so funny. It goes, Medusa is live.
It pops up out of the cathedral.
So you find out that Hester Shaw has, there was that one line where it was like, whatever they're doing in that church has nothing to do with God. And I was like, that's sick. That's a cool thing to say. But the MacGuffin is she has a USB stick.
Yeah,
that says
drive.
USA. And I was like,
That's us.
USA. And then when she opens up the hatch on the thing and it says Med. I was like, what? And then I was like, oh my God.
It's Medusa.
Medusa. Oh, man.
Oh,
there's like
man.
All kinds of other shit, like things missing, bad ADR.
Yeah.
There's the scene where all the people in the Skyhaven turn around as though they've been called. But it cuts to them, they turn around, and then the woman comes in like she's continuing talking. There's the one where the one woman is praying at a shrine that has
a
visage of Medusa. It's like she's praying to a Medusa goddess.
Yeah.
Like it's got the snake heads, and then it's got the eye. There's not a single word of dialogue exchanged.
Of the necklace that lady
makes
has.
Her realize, yeah. I guess Medusa is like,
just, I don't know, a thing or something?
I don't know. I don't know, man. Like,
I don't think they thought about that. But, there's also like I guess it was a one-liner at the end where Hugo Weave is getting blown up and she says, your history. Or she says, your history.
Says, your history, which I was thinking back to it. There's the part where he's talking to Magnus Chrome. Who is saying, like, this is stuff of history, and he's like, or has history taught you nothing? And he's like, history's dead. And then when she said that, I was like, wait, was she there? Was she there for this part?
I had to stop and think about it. Also, like, before we get to the questions, like, the obvious reveal that he's also her father, but then dancing around, not saying it in the way that Star Wars already said it. So he kind of just doesn't say it. They just show a flashback.
He just says, like, your mother didn't tell you, and then it shows them kissing.
Yeah. It's like, I'm not going to say anything because it would be too on the nose.
I know. Instead, I'll do something that's still extremely on the nose.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
it sure was a movie. Better than Mercy? Who knows?
Yeah, I am shocked, actually. I was positive when you posted that poll. That Mercy was going to win out.
Yeah.
And then I saw that it was almost a dead heat with like 120 votes. And I was
it was
like,
close.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
In the end, Mortal Engines had 62% and Mercy had 38%.
Yeah.
But
even
who's to say we
even
won't watch it still?
Ryan's in it. Yeah, we might. We might. I might watch War Machine.
Oh, I was thinking about that.
But
just because I like
I
him
heard
so
it's
much.
Fun.
So.
Yeah.
I'll give
Tom
it a shot.
Tom texted me. He's like, are you aware that your Reach Your Boyfriend is in a movie? And I said, yeah, do you want to watch it together? He said, I'm almost done.
Oh, it's already happening. Okay.
He was already watching it. Yeah.
Hester Shaw. There is a big monster man in this movie, folks.
It has no heart. Like me.
Like me.
Yeah.
Well, we get to some questions, huh?
Let's get to some questions. Thanks, everyone, for listening to this.
Yes.
As soon as we realized Patrick wouldn't be with us, we were like, okay, what can we do that we would never do with Patrick here?
That we would never allow.
And that's watch Mortal Engines.
Yes. So it's been done. All right. Let me pop in here. Nukewarm, what surprise changes will you make to the channel that will shock Patrick upon his return?
Well, I mean.
We'll just talk about a movie the whole time on the podcast, for one thing.
We're gonna have tryouts, you know, we're gonna have new Patricks.
We should do that next guest we have in. Test some stuff out.
Find someone with a beard on. And then make them shave everything else.
Yeah, we should tattoo the rebel insignia on their chest just to see how it looks.
Get them to take their shirt off once a year.
Yeah, I guess it has been once a year. Eli Mulholland, can we follow our dreams or nah? World kind of sketchy right now.
Depends who follow their dreams. Right?
Yeah, it's in quotes.
Can
we follow our dreams?
Can we follow our dreams?
If you, if you're in
Dr.
the
IDF,
if you're in the IDF, no, you can't.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
Yeah, if we is like, I don't know, like cat, like if you're like fostering cats or something, then yes, you should.
Yeah. Can you? I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
give
think
it
dreaming
a shot.
Is in right now.
No. Hanging on. That's what we specialize in.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hey,
give up your dreams.
Would you rather fight 20 rat-sized men or David Duchovny during his prime? Rat-sized men. That sounds easy.
I'm going to say David Duchovny during his prime.
Yeah, because it would be a better event.
Yeah, but I do think he would just say like some stupid. I'm thinking of Mulder because I haven't seen a lot of anything else he's done.
Yeah,
but I think he'd say some stupid like '90s one-liner about political correctness, and then I pop, just
boom.
Hit him once,
take
and
him
he goes
down. Yeah, that's good TV right there. I'm just Wiggle says how sleep better.
Get off phone.
Yeah, get off phone. Pills.
Pills, yeah. Take lots of pills.
I don't know.
I'm not a good voice for this because like
not the
I
best
have
sleeper.
To be constantly consume. I'm a great sleeper.
Yeah,
but it means that I don't have any good habits because I know I sleep well.
Yeah,
and they're gonna come back to bite me because like I'm on my phone a lot of times up until it's time to go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm reading.
I'm
looking up things on the internet about what's happening. And
you're
then
taking in
dreams.
Information. You're just like
I'm getting
fueling
blue
your
light.
Nightmares.
Basically, sometimes, yeah. We watched Society of the Snow the other night.
Oh, right before bed?
Pretty much.
That's a fucking
pretty much,
nightmare
did that on
film.
Monday. Yeah. It's good.
It's really
real good.
But there's some gnarly bits with just like the sound Woo. Design and stuff, like where they're buried in snow.
Yeah, the avalanche scene is crazy.
Ugh.
So, like, watch that, I guess.
Yeah, watch that right before you go to bed. Fall asleep, watch Society of the Snow.
It's great when you watch a movie and you're like, God, I hope I would die in the first, you know, in the crash.
God damn it,
I hope I die immediately.
Yeah. No, I hope I don't survive the first second, the first avalanche, then get hit by the second avalanche that immediately shows up.
Apparently, in real life, it happened when they were sleeping.
Oh my God. It's fucking scary. It's just, good movie though. Very good movie.
Great movie. Better than Mortal Engines, I'd say.
Yeah. Oh, one other little thing that just, I was looking at the cast and what they'd been in and the main guy whose name I don't remember.
Tom.
Yeah. Was also in the movie, The Mortal Instruments, City of Bones. So he's in two movies with Mortal in the title.
Wow, interesting.
Whatever that movie is, seems like it's got like a bunch of other people in it, so it might be a real movie. Lena Headey.
Mortal Instruments. Yeah. Bones.
CCH Pounder, Jared Harris.
How many errands have you got us running for the DA? Oh, that one guy.
Yeah, the Vecna.
Yeah, the Vecna.
Vecna, that guy's in it.
Yeah. Okay, Lily Collins, she's someone, isn't she?
Yeah, that was just funny that there's two movies with Mortal that he was in, because he's not in much else.
He's in Umbrella Academy,
yes.
Apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all right.
All right, Iris, could you still pilot the Astrogoblin Megazord without Patrick?
I guess.
But
I
he controls both legs.
Yeah, we're just dragging ourselves. We control the eyebrows and nothing else.
He controls the whole body except for the eyebrows. And you
honestly
control one each.
Business wise, Jacob, sometimes it feels like that. You're ahead of me because you know how to initiate bank transfers, but it does feel like he's driving the entire thing and we're making faces.
Yes, like, yes. Yeah, we were doing some stuff last night and I was like, oh, this is, I can get a little closer to knowing all the secrets if I could.
then you can teach you. Tell me.
Yeah, yeah. Guard it jealously. Let's see. Gustavo, I have to mediate between two arguing employees. What type of bushmeat should I serve to foster an atmosphere of reconciliation?
Oh.
Probably macaque. Macaque bushmeat.
I think find a North American bushmeat.
Oh, you know? Okay.
I think other continents are well represented, but I don't know if there's that many, like, raccoons.
Is porcupine good bushmeat?
What's a good... Yeah, but a porcupine seems like a loner to me. Like, if we're fostering an air of cooperation...
Yeah, you want more.
Collaboration. What's like a pack animal that would
I feel like deer might be good, then you could share.
I was thinking deer too, because you know where I grew up, there's plenty of roadkill. Like a lot.
North American mammals. Let's see what our options are here.
Can you have fish bush meat?
Fish bush
fish
meat.
Bush?
Well, bush fish is already pretty flat. Oh, possums? Possums might be good.
Oh, possum does feel like it's ripe.
Have all the babies that ride on them too, so you could get like a whole pile.
It's like monkey bread.
Yeah, it's like monkey bread. yeah. Let's go. We can go with that. Beavers probably. I mean, those are good bush meat. You get some of that. Go watch Hoppers. Bring your beaver bush meat to the theater.
Oh, talk about beavers. Tomorrow, I guess the day the podcast comes out, Timberborn hits 1.0, baby.
Oh, is it in early access?
It's been in early access for 4 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Which video games. Some games, that's just how they do it. Like, it really is, you're along for the ride.
Video games are bad.
So it's a big moment for beavers. So yeah. Maybe that's the answer.
Year of the Beaver. It's here.
Yeah. Come in, like the Joker, right? Break a pool cue and put it in the ground and say, we're going to have... to build a dam. And then you have that be their teamwork.
Yeah, then you give them 50 pool cues and they snap them all and make a little dam.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. We're going to build a retaining wall.
Ghost of Yote multiplayer came out too.
Oh, yeah.
I bet that'd be fun to play.
I should play that game.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not coming to PC.
Nope.
Right?
They've announced it. Death Stranding 2, the final one.
I don't know. I hope they announce some gadgets to go along with that because, you know, you were lucky. You got to go right into the Death Stranding, like, director's cut experience.
But yeah, yeah.
When they introduced, like the jump ramp and the roadster and the cargo cannon, none of that was in the base game.
Right, right. I got a lot of
and
good
so
stuff.
And so I haven't seen evidence of that, except you get a blue suit.
A blue suit? Oh, for PC. Interesting.
Yeah, because PCs are blue.
Well, I gotta wear my Junji Ito suit though.
Dude, I went full Pizza Atami whenever I could.
Oh yeah.
It was like, so slick.
And when I got it all, I immediately put it all on, even though the boots were worse.
The boots are worse, but they look so much better.
Yeah, the fucking like absolute boots are great, but they look so dumb. Their little claws and stuff.
Yeah, I did wear them all the time. Although sometimes I went with trek boots. That's the thing that I think bothers me a little bit with Death Stranding. Is that the stuff you get that's progressively better, like, there's not a ton in the way of trade-offs.
Yeah.
Like, earlier in the game, there's speed skeleton, but there's also, like, all-terrain skeleton. But especially in the second game,
like
you get to a point where it's like, here's a really, really good skeleton that's fast, has great battery, and the highest carrying capacity.
Yeah, there's no downsides.
Well, all right, well, then I guess that's just what I'll use. And the same goes for the boots.
Like, I caught that.
These are better in every way.
Lord of the Tar Lake. And I'm like, well, I'm going to use this every time I fight a large BT. And I did. I got those fucking lions popped up. And I was like, all right, Lord of the Tar Lake. And it was like one-shotting them.
Can you imagine now how mad I was when I got it all the way down? And then
now that I've experienced it,
looks like you've got some help.
Yeah, like that's so weird.
I wanted to throw myself off of Central Knot City whatever the fuck.
I do wonder,
I wanted to void out myself.
Because I summoned my own. I summoned like the Octopoid because I'm like, this will probably not do that much, but also be helpful. And I mean, I wonder if that like stopped it from summoning another one or something.
I didn't like the summonings though because you couldn't unsummon them. So there was a couple I tried to catch where I used a summons and it just kept fighting and then killed the thing.
Right. You want to catch the thing.
I want to catch the thing.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Whatever. Next question.
Whatever.
Boromir dies. When I was young at a church camp, I hit my head on a pew and it left a scar on my eyebrow. But when people asked about it, I told a story about how I got in a knife fight while saving a woman from being mugged. What's your most elaborate lie for an injury? That's a good question.
Most elaborate lie for an injury.
I don't think I've gotten a lot of major injuries. I told my mom Patrick had a similar thing. I had like a little calcium thing in my arm.
Yeah.
That had to get removed. And like, I went with my dad to like get it taken out when I had it. And my mom was asking what it was. And I was like, oh, it was eggs. There's like eggs in there. She was
that's
like,
good.
She was
that's
like,
really
oh
good.
My God. That's so creepy.
Oh, your poor mother.
Yeah. I told her the truth eventually.
Did you tell her the truth?
Yeah. But I was like, no, it was crab eggs. There was crab eggs in my arm.
That would be so big for us, Jacob, if you had crab eggs in your arm.
Just parasites in our skin.
It wasn't a very good lie, but I remember I was at my grandmother's beach house and the extended family was all around and I had on a little outfit after my day at the beach and I was like, well, let me check this out in the mirror. And the only way to get a full length mirror was to stand on her bed and look in the armoire. And I took a step forward towards the mirror to get a better look, not realizing the ceiling fan was on. And it's funny because, you know, I was probably wearing like a striped polo short and khaki cargo shorts.
Yeah.
And like, that was probably it. And like, I was just like, all right, let's check. How's the cut look? And I walked forward and it was just like, thunk. And I had a bump like the size of an egg on my forehead.
Yeah, the goose
and I had to go to
egg,
a family function like immediately. Everyone's like, what the fuck is that? I'm like, yeah. I fell.
You're checking out your
outfit.
And
then outfit. There was another time.
The fan
there was
snagged
another time
your clothes.
Where I, yeah, and I'm just swinging off. Around. like when Frank is hanging in Always Sunny.
yeah. Sorry, you were saying.
Yeah. No, that's pretty much it. There's another time I dove into the ocean and it was like all very, not that fine, but fine enough shells that you can walk on them.
Aye.
But it was like maybe 3 feet deep and I went in. It could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
Diving in somewhere shallow. But I basically just like smacked my head and just like scraped it along all these shells. And I had like a huge scab for the summer or for the next few weeks.
Yeah, that's happened to me. Like I've run out into the surf. Jumped towards the water, but the wave was receding, so it just like quickly disappeared. I landed face down in the muck, and then a wave crashed down on top of me.
Yes, Wile E. Coyote ass.
Exactly, it's some good stuff. Let's see. This is a good question from David Jones. Which of you are the mother, the maiden, and the crone of Astro Goblin? I think we're all crone.
When we did that RPG thing, which people see, you were mother.
Yes. Yeah, I was in my character sheet.
I feel like Patrick exhibits crone-like qualities.
Absolutely.
And since he's not here to defend himself, I'm going to say he's the crone.
Yeah. And you're the maiden.
He's Magnus Crone.
He's Magnus Crone. There we go.
Zing.
All right, Rory Vespasian. I'm a few years into an elaborate scratch card scam that will net me a few hundred dollars profit. Due to some last-minute complications, I have to improvise a bit in the home stretch. I need a social security number from somebody who lives in California. So could one of you do me a solid and tell me your SSN? I could repay the favor with about 24 subpar ribeye steaks.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I'll DM you, Rory Vespasian.
You know what's crazy is Patrick's is just six.
Yeah.
It's just the number
that.
Six. Yeah.
Give that a shot.
Like when you see a vanity plate that's just like three letters.
Yeah.
How did they get that?
Was it you saw the one that said like foot fetish or something?
I don't know if that was me.
Somebody saw that.
I don't know.
Told me about it. Like, a Tesla that said foot fetish on it.
I don't think it was me, but I remember hearing the story. So
right,
I was with you, I think.
So we were involved. All right. Bone Daddy, if you were forced to only eat one food for the rest of your life, which bushmeat would it be and why? I don't know. Let me pull up our chat that we had during the last.
I'm not looking at the chat.
Yeah.
I'm not looking at the chat.
Our our voice chat, thing on Discord is fucked. Is fucked with like horrible.
It's
bushmeat.
Quite bad.
But
it's quite bad.
After a quick scroll, I would go with bats.
Yeah.
Yeah. No apes. No apes for me, please.
I'm really feeling like the fish thing. I feel like there could be like a bush crab.
Oh, okay. Something. So anything that lives in the sea could be bush meat.
Yeah, I don't know. I maybe like a bush cucumber, bush sea cucumber.
Yeah, bush crab, there'd be a lot of shrapnel in.
Yeah,
that's what
right.
I'd worry
what about.
Bush? A bush cucumber.
Something nice to chew on.
That's good.
Bush cucumber.
Yeah.
Maybe like a bush.
Like a beach jellyfish is like already kind of bush meat-ish. You just need to scorch
it
with
fire. Yeah, it just dries out. Can you char a jelly? You know what? I'll look into it.
Yeah, we'll investigate that
one. I'll say bush shrimp.
Bush shrimp.
Shrimp yeah. meat.
You can eat the whole thing. My brother Brad loved eating the tails.
Poop. I eat the tails when they come in pasta. No, that's not true. I'll eat them in shrimp tempura.
Tempura, yeah. That's a little different.
Yeah.
Let's see. Hitotaka Miyazaki, turn my toilet into a point swamp. What's worse? Going to sleep with an itchy bum or waking up with a smelly finger?
These are truly the questions.
Something you just check before you wake up. It's like, let's see how the fingers are smelling.
That's
morning.
How my pop checked diapers. You just stick his finger in,
like
dunk
a,
it,
it's
and
like
smell
an oil
it.
Dipstick. Oh, there's poop
yeah,
on it.
Yeah, man. Guys used to be men, you know, in this
that's
country.
That's so cool. That's a good question.
I abstain.
Yeah, I'm
too
with,
close.
I'll go with the smelly finger. It's definitely worse. Because what made it stinky? That's the mystery. Whose stink is it?
Yeah.
At least if your ass is itchy, you know it's yours.
Truer words, Jacob.
You can't fill assumed identity without ass titty. Fode and Bede saw you from across the bar and really dig your vibe. If you hook up, is it a threesome?
Who?
Fode and Bede, the pod racer announcers.
Oh, they have one body, right?
Yes.
That's not a threesome. That's like hooking up with someone with bipolar disorder.
Yeah. What about those like conjoined twins, like with the two heads?
Same answer.
All right. It's only one.
It's one.
Only one.
It's
there
just,
is.
Well, it's not the head you got to worry about.
Yeah. You got to worry how many appendages they have.
Yeah.
All right. Prof. Mikowski, I'm getting a new dog in a few days. What should I name him?
Hell yeah.
Ooh. Probably Patrick.
Patrick would be really good.
That's a little
we already good. We have a cat named Saltziga in the mix.
Yeah.
Let so me you could name him Udo Kier.
Udo Kier is good. Name him Shrike. Or
Shrike. Wait, name him Bevan Tops or whatever. What's his name?
Bevan. I'm looking right now.
It's Bevis Pod.
Yeah. There's a guy named Towahiki.
This Clitty
Pots. Which guy was that? Clitty Pots. Is that that annoying character
also,
with the hair? Her name's Clitty.
I'm not even joking, Jacob. I just scrolled down and it says more like this. Alita Battle Angel, Valeria and the City of 1,000 Planets, Warcraft.
What the fuck? There it is.
And
there
what do you
is.
Think the fourth movie is?
Jupiter Ascending.
Rack that noodle. No.
What could the fourth
tell
be?
You. It's yeah, Ghost
me.
In the Shell.
Oh, ScarJo stood in the shell.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. No, I see that. I can see that.
Yeah, but the first three, we were dead on.
Yes. Nailed it. Okay, Dangtious, which of y'all is winning hands on a hard body, and what are your strategies?
Oh, I'm losing.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't be able to take that. Patrick could probably do it. We speak for him.
I do feel like... Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do have power of attorney. I do feel like Patrick could have thrived as like some small town weirdo in the like 60s and 70s who would enter like a local hands on a hard body challenge.
Yeah, like if
and
he
be
had,
really mean to all the other people around him.
Yeah,
like degrade them.
Like if when he grew up, he never got his hands on like a phone or something.
Right.
He would have stayed and thrived.
Pre-internet Patrick, you know, stays in the Midwest. And like, he just kind of enters things. He's a guy that knows what the Powerball is at any given time. Isn't that weird when you have to know what it is?
Yeah.
When someone's like, Powerball's up to 800 million. You're like, what?
But hey, you got to go ask him.
How
everybody
do you know
knows
that?
He knows.
He knows. He knows.
But
yeah.
He might not tell you.
All me right. And the wifey going to get a hard body.
Person down under. G'day, goblins. With International Women's Day behind us, what did Charlotte do to show her appreciation for Jacob and Patrick?
Okay, I didn't even... When was International Women's Day? I think it was
Monday or something, because I told Tara good job.
Fuck. Yeah, it was 3 days ago. Well, I watched Sunday? Society of the Snow.
Yeah.
When is International Men's Day?
Only some women in Society
November,
of the Snow.
November 19th. Yeah, I mean, they all die.
Yeah, that one that gets crushed against the chair when it crashes. She goes... Bleh!
Ooh, that was gnarly.
The crash is so fucked.
Yeah.
What's the other
movie? What
did
I do for Jacob
that's
and
the
Patrick?
Same thing?
Oh, Alive?
Alive. That's
from the
90s. Right.
Yeah. You know what's annoying is Netflix defaulted to an English dub. And then we were looking and it didn't even tell you when you go into the audio options which language was the original for the film.
It's just a list of languages.
It's just a list of languages. Spanish wasn't even on top.
Random order.
And it starts with like a rugby game and it's like, over here, Roberto. And it's just like, we're like looking at each other. We're like, what?
What's going
fuck?
On here?
Yeah. Fuck you, Netflix. It was like watching Train Dreams, which is like one of the like most like subtle and sorrowful films I've seen in a long time. And it ends with, ba-gum. Starts with it too, I think. I don't know.
So cool. Let's see what else we got here. Alex Hanskin, if mammals laid eggs, which egg would you want to try the most?
Well, there is the one. Super random animal, the platypus.
Yeah, platypus. Don't porcupines lay eggs, too?
I would trust your judgment.
They don't lay eggs. What the hell?
Do you have egg bush meat?
Mammals?
Do you have bush eggs?
I think so. If the because like snakes have egg shells that are very like flexible, so you could probably flatten it pretty good.
Yeah. Or just pop them like peas.
I don't know why I thought porcupines laid eggs. That's crazy. Platypus, you were right, though, of course.
I think whale eggs.
Yeah, whale eggs.
I would be curious about the size of your bedroom.
Yeah. Just watching a whale just plop out like a massive ovoid. It just floats in the ocean.
I know, it just kind of bobs up and down.
Yeah. Oh, if there's like a mammal that could lay like a mermaid's purse, like a shark,
ooh.
I want some bushmeat of that, because then you can see the bushmeat on the inside of the egg.
Yeah. Boy, we've been talking a lot about bushmeat the past couple weeks, huh?
Yeah, let's move on from that. Dodie OMG, if you could turn any fictional creature into bushmeat, what and why?
Jesus Christ.
This is a hole we dug ourselves.
You guys. What's the question?
If you could turn any fictional creature into bushmeat, what and why?
Mr. Tumnus, next question.
Hey, Dobby.
probably the fucking, what's his name? Harry Potter's griffin, hypotenuse.
Yeah, hypotenuse. Run over that whole thing. Burn it.
Run over that whole thing. Yeah. Freaking Weeping Willow, Dr. Lupin.
Yeah. Snape. Oh,
Nagili.
Nagili.
Probably Nagili.
Oh, Christ. Attempted Nagili. Mustache, no question, but I'm currently at a seminar on manure application in agricultural practice, and the presenter has said liquid hog at least 20 times. Just thought you might find that phrase funny.
What does that mean?
Liquid hog. I'm going to Google it.
Liquid hog.
Oh, yeah, there's like a product. There's some, something to do with wild boar. It keeps them out.
Oh, does it ward them off? Yeah, because that's
pig
a
out.
Big problem.
It's called pig out. Oh, pig they got another out. One called war hog. Black Ops
I want
war
his
hog.
Pig. It's cool.
Liquid
that's awesome.
Hog manure is liquid gold, says Gray News. California.
Oh, well, if Gray News says it.
Liquid hog manure, which is more readily available than solid or semi-solid manures, has always been viewed as valuable nutrient source. Cool. It's a good phrase. That is great. Steve R., what advice can you give to a would-be cool uncle with three young nephews?
Oh. Jacob, you're one of three boys. I feel like you're a good voice on this.
Yeah. If you're an uncle, you should be playing blues guitar. And also
ooh,
have a hard drive full
really
of
good.
Movies.
Yeah.
Full of like.
That's really, really good.
Movies from before there were good like versions of movies you could pirate. Like only cams of movies.
Yes. It's like my dad's good friend who when I graduated high school. He gave me DVD copies that he had filmed off his TV of Benicio del Toro's The Wolfman and Shutter Island.
There you go. See,
you could see the Comcast menu in the DVD.
That's great. Or like that, my uncle had Rawhead Rex.
Really?
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. I forgot about that.
So cool. Have all that gold available.
Have all that. I think my answer, nicknames. Nicknames for everyone.
Nicknames.
And
yeah.
they don't have to be related to anything that happened. Dole them out with the reckless abandon, but make sure you stick with them because for those boys, that's going to be very special.
Yep.
Like, just be like, what's up, Turbo? And then like that kid's going to be like, I've been sainted. This is my naming day.
My Uncle Steve, when I was a kid, called me Xylophone Boy.
Oh, my ribs. Called me Puddle Boy. Because your ribs.
Because you go, broop.
He called me Puddle Boy. He called my sister Snowy Biscuit.
Puddle Boy, why? Did you piss yourself?
I don't remember. No. There was something him and my dad had.
Oh, he also called me Jaco.
Jaco!
Which I know is a thing that you and Patrick say.
Jaco!
Is that Cisco's boy?
That's Cisco's son.
Yeah.
Which, great, great character. There's an episode where he's played in the future by Tony Todd. And it's one of the best episodes of TV that's ever been made.
Dang.
It comes out of nowhere. Like, it blindsides you with, like, the most, like, emotionally damaging, well-crafted episode you've ever seen.
That rocks. Oh, the Jordy LaForge visor showed up, finally.
Oh, just in time.
I know.
Patrick's going to have all our stuff, and yeah. We have the visor.
Yeah. For some reason, got two of them. Mm. So, I don't know.
I do like the visual of you playing a game and Patrick and I both wearing Geordi glasses and just talking Star Trek anything. In the background.
Yeah. That's a great idea.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah. I'll just be playing whatever I want.
Yeah,
let's see.
Yeah.
Cheesy, for each of y'all individually, what's a piece of media that you have not brought to the Astro Goblin table yet, which you think the other two would really enjoy?
Wow. Mm. Oh, man.
I don't know. I don't think I've held anything back.
It kind of comes out of nowhere sometimes. Like, Reacher and Tulsa King, like, I would not have thought those would be such big hitters for us.
Yeah. And, like, sometimes there's probably
Blacklist,
stuff buried down that I just don't remember until I do.
You know what it is? It's not that I, like, am like, hey, here's a show that I think is great. I have to find, like, a scene on YouTube that has, like, a weird back and forth. And that can be it. That's the germ, right?
Right, right.
From which the seed sprouts. I don't know. A piece of media.
I don't know.
God, you know, I can't think of anything. Because we have everything from Tulsa King to Andrew WK to Moby Dick.
Yeah. It's like you gotta root through the box of Legos that is our minds and find those pieces. We don't know they're in there.
No.
Gattaca.
Maybe Gattaca. Maybe I'll watch
Maybe Gattaca's in there somewhere.
Galaxy Quest was happening for a minute.
Yeah, yeah. That was a good time.
Right.
Explain. Vincubus, CFNM or CMNF?
Is it Country Music Nights at Freddy's?
Yeah, I think so. And then the other one is Country Music or Country Freddy's Music Nights at Music.
No, it's much worse.
Is it porn? Is it a porn thing?
I'm trying to figure it out. This class of kinks called closed male, naked male. I think
closed female, naked
male. Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Close male, naked female.
Close female, naked male.
None of them are like
male, naked female.
Okay. Is it kind of some kind of phobic that there's no like naked both, close both?
I think just like those ones don't warrant acronyms.
A kink? I guess that's just Mormons.
Yeah, there's Mormons and then there's regular.
I love the chance. There's a few requests.
I think definitely clothed female for sure. That one's. I'd love to men in the nudes more cool.
I mean, clothed male, nude female is just, you know, fundamentalist Ferengi society.
Oh yeah, it's like the women just it's not
they
cool.
Don't wear, it's actually
they wear clothes.
Disgusting. If yeah,
like they whenever they see like a clothed human female, they're like, oh my god, they're making her wear clothes.
Human. Yeah.
Oh, so it's clothed Ferengi naked male.
Oh yes. Okay.
So I think the first one. Yeah.
First one.
Idrana Baquita.
I gotta pee, so we gotta
yeah, we only got four left. which of you always puts food upside down in the restaurant takeout container?
I don't.
Yeah, I certainly don't. Patrick does that. Patrick does it all the time.
he does it with soup and like a Chinese takeout box.
Whatever Patrick does, he leaves it in my fridge. That's what he does.
When I did that, I came back because that was my dinner.
I hear tires screech outside my house. And I hear heavy footsteps running up to the door.
Yeah.
Libos, what's in the box?
Mm. Upside down takeout.
Gotcha. That's what's in there. Kevin Calamity. Snort, smoke, boof, merry fuck, kill, in parentheses, belly button lint, corn from your grandmother's foot, or J.D. Vance's couch cushion. Let's see. Well, I would smoke the corn.
Really?
Smoke the cushion and boof the belly button lint. It's a lot of moving pieces here.
I'm not doing any of it. I won't play your games, Kevin Calamity. I won't be made to suffer at your hand. I don't want to do this.
Can I snort two of the three? I'll take the corn.
Can
off
I
the
smoke
nose.
Everything? I want to smoke the world.
Yes. Emma. Hey, so I found this ring, and now I'm feeling kind of thin, sort of stretched, like butter scraped over too much bread. Got any suggestions for me?
Is that... What is that? Is that
Lord
of
the
Rings?
Yeah.
Is that from the book? Is that
Frodo. What he says in the movie.
Oh, he does?
Yeah. Like, but
sort of stretched. Like, now I'm hearing it. Yeah. Man, hobbits are just like me, for real.
They're the best. Got that big pumpkin.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I'd say get yourself the finest pipe weed you can, Emma.
Yeah, I would say it's quite cool.
It's quite cool.
It's quite cool. Go on. It's quite cool.
Yeah, follow your nose.
Yeah, follow your dreams. You know, and if those dreams lead you to, you know, the hand of Sauron, so be it.
The white hand. You'll be fine.
It's fine.
And hell, that's the end of our Mortal Engines podcast.
Yes, it was. Like almost exactly, I feel like, half and half between Mortal Engines and lovely questions from our mortal fans.
Yes. As far as we could tell.
They could be Highlanders.
Yeah.
But then we would have just one patron at
the
end.
True.
Because there can only be. I think that about does it. Oh, let me plug live. Please Be Nice to Me. If you're in the LA area, you can get a ticket April 4th, putting up Please Be Nice to Me as part of the Joy Who Lived Theater Festival. You can get tickets at the link in my Instagram bio. It's at the Hudson Theater, and should be a lot of fun. I have my guests. I have some gay, queer, trans guests. Yeah,
gay, right? Queer, trans,
gay quest. And I'm just gonna kind of grill them on, you know, should we have municipal Darwinism?
There is a right answer, and it's yes.
There is. What do you think about the Shanguinese?
Do you think the Shanguinese treasure all life?
Do you think they treasure all life? Do you think they would take another path if one was before them?
Yeah. All right, let's end this thing.